That's a topic for a different time. But if you want to know more about that, I'll be more than happy to talk about that. However, following the ceremony, as most folks do, they console each other. You know, my current boss and I share some of the same people on that same wall, and so we talk about Stokely, and we talk about various other people who passed in Iraq and Afghanistan, and then someone will pass by, oh, you're talking about Morales, and he died in Afghanistan from a vehicle rollover. And so it's a never-ending, cascading event where you just... It's like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, right? It doesn't work that way exactly, and I'm not trying to trivialize the fallen, but just understand that's how it flows when we're in that situation. So how do we handle this in everyday situations in our life, in our Christian life? Some of us sit up in a dark hole in misery. We don't want to talk to anybody. We don't want to share it with anybody. We don't want to even try to explain it to anybody. Sometimes we lash out at others in our misery, because that's easy, right? It's my fault, you know, but I'm gonna put it on somebody else. If we are lucky, and Lamar, I saw you doing this, thanks. Someone sees us and asks how we're doing. And this is where we fail as Christians. We tell them we're okay. We're not okay. Now, we're okay with something else, but we're not okay in this particular situation. Bear with me here. Or they may get a small glimpse into our situation. How do we handle it when we see another in anguish? Or they say, I need to talk. Do we immediately look at the time and see how much time we can give? We're going to come back to time here in a few minutes. Today we're going to look at how we should handle encouraging one another. I would like to share with you a practical example of when it was needed. And I've asked permission to use the example I'm about to share with you from a man I work named Jim Asher. By the way, it's Marinelle's cousin. We didn't know that when we first started working together. Jim and I worked together 2 to 3 years. I don't know. I really don't remember when he came in, but he was there. And then immediately after that, COVID showed up. And so, as most of you, I think, we lost our minds with COVID. We lost our sense of time with COVID, except for it's been a long time. I knew Jim from afar. I knew him as a quality worker. I knew his work, and I knew everybody respected his work. He just didn't fit the perfect model of the Army soldier in one particular fashion. So a general respect was in place when he first started working with me directly every day. Every day I was doing the same routine. We've talked about this before, but it bears repeating for the context. I get up, I drive partway to work, I drop a bicycle out of the back of my car, and I pedal into work. It doesn't matter what the weather is. I've got pictures to prove it, just for the record. Rain, snow, I've pedaled in snow, but frequently Jim would pass me on the way into work, and he'd wave, honk, or simply shake his head at me because he thought I was an idiot. COVID struck, and we worked in the same room for about 9 months together. When I tell you the same room, the room was about the size of the stage behind me with a big table in the middle, a couple of monitors, and we just sat there for 9 months processing as many of the missions we could to support the Georgia citizens for COVID every day. Jim would pass me again on the way to work during this 9 months, and finally the curiosity got the better of him, and he goes, can I ride with you? I'm always dubious at this time, and he knows that. We've had these discussions over many, many miles. I was dubious because I know that nobody loves this thing that I do as much as I do, as my bride will be more than happy to tell you. No one loves riding bikes as much as I do. It just doesn't happen. Cameron will tell you the same thing as well. Are we going to ride a bike again? Truly, just ask them, they'll tell you. However, Jim used to ride frequently in his past, and so he really wanted to do this. The first ride was a complete letdown for him. And it was hot. He got a flat tire. No mechanical ability to fix the bike in that particular case. I know. There's some of you in here going, it's a bike. I'm telling you, we're not all electrical engineers, and we're not all mechanical engineers yet. We're getting there. But he arrived at his vehicle and drove home. The problem was, not only did he have those problems right there, we were at the halfway point. We had just flipped 5 miles in a 10-mile ride. Which 5 miles are you going to take? So we fixed it. When he got to his car, his heart rate had spiked to 170. That's not good. Speed wasn't stunning. He wasn't carrying anything on the bike, so he was as light as he could be. And that was around June of last year. All right, this is a laundry list of stuff. During that almost year, Jim faced purchasing a new bike, getting frustrated, thinking results would be immediate, comparing himself repeatedly to me. You just don't know. Slowly improving, understanding his new environment, developing a distaste for drivers, being hit on his bicycle, taking several big rides by himself, attempting a late January ride with camping gear only to have the temperatures drop to 25 degrees. It was a cold, cold night. Struggling to get through this crazy spring in which the temperatures fluctuated dramatically day to day, week to week. Now, this is the good news. This last week, Jim crossed 5,000 miles in less than 12 months. The best I've ever done is 5,500. That should set the framework for him. He was elated. His heart rate maxes at 150 now, normally in the 130s. His speed is around 12 to 16 miles an hour. He is carrying weight in the bags, and as of this writing, is considering doing a 100-mile solo this week. He blames me. But in reality, he taught me many lessons along the way, and Hannah's been the beneficiary of some of those. Being around for the frustrating times, reminding someone that it is possible. Guess where we're going next. All right, the comments during the ride were focused differently. You'll recognize the crossovers. It's not the equipment's fault. God didn't make the equipment faulty, but we have to take care of it. If we don't understand the equipment, we need to find somebody who does. What's the equipment I'm talking about? If we can't read the instructions, we need a translator, someone to help. Have you said this? Have you said this? I did it. It's a much longer story, but it was involved a motorcycle above 8,000 feet in Colorado, and I was trying to get around a rock, and I just couldn't get there, and I was cussing the bike. Yes, cussing the bike. And my uncle sitting on the other side of the tree just giggling at me because he knew it's not the bike's fault. Have you said this one as well? I hate my life. No one's going to understand what I'm saying. No one understands my situation. Let's keep going, and this is more important, especially to make you high school grads right now. Why did God put me in this situation? There's no way I could make it through this. I would rather be dead. We know that suffering, we know about suffering because we've heard it in a couple of sermons in the past couple of weeks, haven't we? This is where KP told me to slow down, by the way. We are to expect suffering, and even more when we are Christians, right? This is the contact sport part, folks. Get ready. Something about a spiritual battle all around us that we cannot see. So in a very direct format, and as Robin has stipulated, and I think I can use that one too, that I'm pretty direct. So here we go. Are we Christians?
Yes.
They can't hear you online. Let's go again. Are we Christians?
Yes.
Then we will suffer, right?
Yes.
How does the long game look for you? Come on, they can't hear you.
We win.
We will have eternal life with God. Why are we here? Why are we here? To share the good news. There you go. Who is going to convict the non-believers? So it's not us? Oh, okay, okay. Do you believe in God's word? Well, then your life should be fairly straightforward then, right? I knew you'd laugh. I knew you'd laugh at that last one. Okay, but look, here's the deal. That's the deal. I don't understand, as a group, as a body of believers, as a larger body of believers, how we are unencouraged. I don't get it. It's sometimes when you may catch me rolling my eyes periodically. That's why I roll my eyes periodically, because I don't understand. I'm not in your situation, so I can't understand. I can't empathize. I can sympathize, but I don't get it. Every time, much longer story, every time I've been in a situation, I've always come out on the other side. So I'm not going to jump ahead, but I really, really want to, which is what happens if we die. We're out of here. Right to heaven, like that. So let's go for some real encouragement, and this is where Robin gets to earn her money back there. By the way, a big round of applause for the AV team. They scored today. I don't know what you all heard online, but if you'd have been here, this place was just, I don't want to use the word rocking or thumping, but worshiping was something special. So, if you have your Bibles, open to 1 Thessalonians 5. It's a really small chapter, so just keep flipping until you find it. We're going to put it on the screens, plural. We're going to put it on your display here in a minute. But let me tell you something about Thessalonica and the Thessalonians. If that doesn't tie your tongue, I don't know what will. Second largest city in Macedonia. This is east of Italy, right off the tip of the boot, more like the heel, on the Aegean Sea. It's a port city, and I looked it up last night as I was trying to get my head wrapped around it. And for the what it's worth, if you've ever been to Savannah on River Street and the big ships go by, that's one shipping lane, right? Everybody's tracking? That's one shipping lane. This city today has five. It's a monster. And quite frankly, the letter to the Thessalonians was written to strengthen their belief in the second coming. They had a couple of folks in their body of believers actually die, and they were unprepared for their untimely death. And so, again, this goes back to what I just said. You're out of here. I hate it for your family. I hate it for my family, right? But if you're in a better place, you're in a better place. And you get to do what we just did full time. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 18, from the New International Version. In the event, it reads differently in your Bible here or at home. I tell you this for a reason. It's because if you have the NIV, there's a paragraph jump. But I will tell you that those are arbitrary, just like the verse numbers, aren't they? You got to know your Bible when you read it. So starting at verse 9, it reads, you know why I use the paper copy, right? So in case this junk goes down, I keep talking. Just saying. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that wherever we are, awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. Very matter-of-factly, isn't it? Okay, just in case you thought Thessalonians were the only ones that got the encouragement line, I'm going to read to you Hebrews 10, 23 and 25. You don't have to turn there, just listen. It's only a couple verses. Let us hold unswervingly to the hopes we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some of you are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, as all the more as you see the day approaching. Last but not least, the Romans 15, 1 and 2. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. Even the strong needs encouragement, folks. I was in tears in two of the three songs. And I don't consider myself strong. So let me pray for us before we get full started on this, okay? God, we come before you this morning as a group of believers, a body of believers in this church right here, right now. Lord, we want you to sink that in our hearts wholly as grounding scripture for when we are hurting. And to go back to those instructions, those very simple instructions that you have given us all throughout your scriptures. It's front, back, old, new. And Lord, I ask that you settle the Holy Spirit on us this morning so that we, as we continue right now, that we are encouraged fully. Lord, we ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. I love God's word for its factual, direct answers. He said it, that's it. Not I believe it. He said it, that's it. That's it. If you believe in it, that's because you've gotten poked by the Holy Spirit. What I also find ironically funny, and you know, most of you know my humor at this point, you don't, but you could, is how often we fail to accept that fact, and then we immediately go back to find out what he said, because we didn't like the answer in the first place. Maybe we take this Thessalonian passage as something that was meant for someone else. Maybe we treat it like Proverbs, like a good fortune cookie. It's just nice to hear it. Nope. Cheer up. Chin up. Take the next one, because you know you're going to win the long game. You're going to win the long game. You can't beat me down, quite frankly, because you can't take my soul. Oh, that's scriptural too, but you'll have to dig for that one. I'm not giving up the answer to that one. So let's go back and pull this apart. I'm going to go through 9 through 13 and 14. I'm sorry, 9, and we're going to jump around. Bear with me. So let's go back to 9. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through Lord Jesus Christ. We always capture that last part, don't we? Salvation through Lord Jesus Christ. But how about that suffer wrath? You know what that is? That's the part about going to hell and having God removed for you. That's the wrath. The wrath spoken is God's wrath against a sinner. Salvation is yours to have if you admit you're a sinner. Repent of your sins. Ask Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior. You're going to have an opportunity if you haven't already done that. And lastly, and this is important, there's only one way to Christ. There's only one way to salvation. It's Jesus Christ. Not negotiable. 10. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Ultimate sacrifice. This weekend, it's a discussion point. Because we see family and friends that have given the ultimate sacrifice. And that's a thing, right? Is this a bigger thing? Can you imagine God giving... I know we said this for years. Can you imagine God giving up his son to save us? We talk about that every Easter, every Christmas. Steve, I'm just going to ask. You going to give him up?
Not least.
Yeah, I know. It is what it is, right? But God did this, right? All right. Awake or asleep, we may live together with him. 11, therefore encourage one another, build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. You should remind others of these facts, and here is where the encouragement picks up. Just to build each other up, the next struggle is lessened. Jump to 14 for me, please. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn them who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Did you hear that last one? Ooh, I can't do that. Here it is. Encouragement isn't always a fast thing. It's often a long job. We must be patient, really patient, because we're all not on the same level. Lamar, something that bothers me may not bother someone else, and vice versa. My cushion is reading the Bible every day and working on patience, and I promise you this isn't a small task for me, because I look at the Bible in a very matter-of-fact way. He said it. That's it. 15, make sure that no one pays back wrong for wrong. Always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Now, in all seriousness, we just went through a significant season of the payback, didn't we? Still going on even through this weekend. I saw a meme yesterday, the day before, that actually attacked a political party for the Memorial Day on Memorial Day. There's no point. We must support each other, and specifically in the church, we have to support each other. You have to support each other. Whether you like it or not, I will tell you that we're getting better. We got a long ways to go. I love that final verse of the passage, which is punctuated by God's will to rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Can I get nerdy on you for a second? Do you understand the language that's on the screen behind me, that's on your screen? Do you understand the language fully? What are those? commands, language structure. In German, these are called do imperatives. Do is the second person singular command. And these are very strong. I can't even imagine the Latin or the Hebrew because I can't read either one of them and I don't care. But the language structure works the exact same way, right? He's told you. Are you praying continually? No, not with your eyes closed and on knees all day. Cool. Driving down the road, eyes open so you don't hit the fool in front of you on the phone. Praying for that fool, right? It's right there in front of you. And so when we look back at this and thanks for saying that this morning. I incorporate some of this so quickly that for me it's like skimming the reading, but quite frankly what I read are those, I'm sorry, the do imperatives. This is an imperative. You got to do it. It just has to be done. And it really isn't that difficult. General revelation, right? I'm sorry, did anybody have to come through a hailstorm today? It's a beautiful day. Woo! Rejoice always, nice weather. Woo! If it could be raining, and it could be difficult. I've got some, but when you make it through, Mary, you go, I'm so elated because I made it through this junk, and here I am, and I get to do this thing. You're elated. Everybody saw it on my face when I pedaled through the snow. I was like, yeah. All right, KP alluded to it. We've talked about it for 2 weeks, and I'm sorry I rambled last week as my wife brought it up, but I was so excited about this thing coming for you guys next week, right? And I say that because I'm going to be pedaling across Kansas, and so I will think about you all lovingly from afar. But the point is, this is the first opportunity to come together as a body to encourage one another. Look around. You're not wearing masks. Some of you are. You're not wearing masks. You can go hug a neck if you really wanted to and take that chance and do that thing. And next week, outside, eating. Yeah, nice one, Robin. An opportunity as a church body to do this, to encourage one another as a body. Yes, I said that twice. Because as a body, we have got to become a body again, fully. We've had the privilege to encourage one another on the phone, in the parking lot, but only haphazardly. Next week is intentional, deliberate. It's a deliberate turning point for this church, quite frankly. Pastor said it. We need to strengthen our spiritual resolve in this church. We also need to put back into this community and simply start right here because it's our base. We need to assemble and encourage one another. It starts with us reacquainting ourselves with one another. This is our opportunity. Now, this is what I want to talk about for a second. It's an encouragement, but it's going to take peeling back a couple of layers of skin. This is our opportunity to start being really honest and straightforward. A couple of weeks ago, and I'm being honest here, I'm peeling it back. I made a remark about somebody's financial disposition in context and was corrected immediately by my bride, Hannah. Then someone else contacted the leadership team for the same thing. I was incorrect in bringing it up, but I think, and the Bible says, we need to be able to be so honest that you can come up to me in person and correct me. Maybe not like right now. They'll get disturbed. But seriously, I want you to, and you all should want it, because then I'm in your life, you're in my life. And not just this group and this group and this group. I think we should be able to walk up to anyone, and this is the non-biblical part. I think we should be able to walk up to anyone and politely tell them, discuss with them, and come to an agreement one-on-one. Matthew tells you how to go if it's beyond one-on-one. You can read that. Best part of what I think is this is biblical. It is. I said it a couple of weeks ago. And oh, by the way, God said it, and that's it. Additionally, when we follow what God tells us to do, we're in a better place, and we can feel it, can't we? It may not be the thing we want to do. We may not want to sit down and have quiet time with God. We may not want to do quiet time in the Bible. We may not want to read because we don't like to read. Well, there's other ways. God keeps finding inventors. You can't get away from it. You need to just do it. We've talked about this correction subject before, and at this point I want to simply encourage you to learn how by reading it so you too can be encouraged. Encouragement comes in many ways. We see others do. We see others suffer and survive. We suffer and we survive. We survived. We continue to survive. How do we actually encourage one another? Well, you didn't ask, but I'm glad you did anyway. And I think you will understand why I think next week is such a turning point. Notice we didn't do it potluck style. No, that is not for the germaphobe in the house. That is so that you can concentrate on encouraging one another. Walk up to a person you don't know. I just met Chris Wednesday night, and we had to peel some skin back. And now I know Chris, and Chris and I talk. And it is what it is. And so it doesn't need to be, and this is a hard one for the church, it doesn't need to be just the new people. And we've been around each other, Kelly, since 2006. And there's history. And some of it's good, some of it's not. And we live with each other. And this is the next challenge I have for you. Just because you're upset with this place, don't go somewhere else. Fix it. Start right here. So when Chris and I started talking to him, when we started talking, it was after Wednesday night, and we just had a little conversation of give. Not give and take, give. Just give. Because there's no other way to get towards trust. You didn't know I was going to talk about you, but it is what it is. Let them tell you about them. Gain a little trust. Share a little. And when they feel comfortable with you, they will share their burdens. Now encourage them through either your stories, sufferings, and God's word. Let's reach out to each other, encourage one another. One of the best ones, remember, you have eternal life and will receive it the second you leave this earth. To me, it doesn't get any better than that. It really doesn't. I'm going to get a little morose here. As I'm pedaling across 508 miles of Kansas, if I get hit and die, I'm done. You're going to get me later. I don't care. So this is what it is. I've been hit by a car before, head on, right? I know what it feels like, right? So that's half the battle. And I survived that. We will survive it one way or the other. We will either survive here or we will survive in eternity. And this is more important, especially for you believers. You know that we have this thing made through salvation, right? Really? Let's try that again. I believe Kelly, she said it. I'm just saying. Do you believe that we have it made through salvation? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Have you told anybody?
Yes.
Tell them again. It's an absolute when it's absolutely God's word. The whole Bible is God's word. Okay. Honestly, this is where problems usually arise. With councils, translations, contradictions, upbringing, and perceptions. Raise your hand. I really do want you to do this. Raise your hand if you were raised in a King James church. Tell me I'm not talking about what I'm talking about. Let's just keep going. Anybody raised Catholic? There you are. Okay. These are the perceptions and translations that I'm talking about. So, how do we fix this? Let's read it ourselves. Let's read the Bible ourselves. I will say this every time I'm up here. Read the Bible yourself. Don't come to my conclusion, come to your conclusion. And if you don't think you got that conclusion, talk to that guy. Talk to any one of us, right, who you think has a grasp on it. And I will tell you, if nothing else, we'll study the Bible together and we'll figure it out together. We'll come to a conclusion together, except for Dale. Well, I'll tell you what, he's a formidable opponent. God's absolutes are absolutely true, and when we start to encourage each other, it's like wildfire. Everyone will catch it. Anybody ever been Steve Singleton? When he gets a word? Let me tell you about this. All right. That's what you want. I don't care who you are. That's what you want. In a few minutes, Joe's going to play. He's going to come and play softly, and this is your opportunity quite frankly, to lay it on the altar. Now, this isn't a joke. For those of you who are online and you've never kneeled on our steps, they're padded on the second layer. They're padded on the bottom layer. That was a deliberate decision. 2008, 2007? When was the flood? No, not Noah's flood, the flood here. We made a decision to put some padding in there so you could spend some time, and that's the other piece before we come down front and do our thing. You can pray where you're at. You can. It's not nearly as convicting. It isn't. I got up here this morning. It's significantly different down here than it is out there, okay? There's not enough, but you can still come and do it, and I'm being kind of glib here, but there's a reason. I know we got the camera on us, and I don't really care because my face is stuck like this. I got a bald head. It doesn't matter. I think we should be able to have those conversations at that level and say, I need some help. I need someone to come over here that's an encourager and pray with me. I need someone to come over here. I'm jumping, and I'll get back to it. And I'm good here. I just want to pray by myself. But I'm going to take it right now and leave it right here. I'm not going to take it home again. I'm going to drop it right here and walk away. Lay your concerns down. Let him who gives you eternal life take it away, and really take it away. Let it go. Let it go. I got more stories. I could go on all day. KP warned me I could go on all day. I'm just kidding. He didn't warn me. He said, slow down. Now, before Joe walks in here and he plays, let me pray for us, and we're gonna get to the end of this, I promise. Lord, thank you. Right now. I didn't know how this was going to go. I hoped it was going to come out like this. And the only reason it did is because you gave it to me. This is not man-driven. Lord, we thank you for the absolutes that you give us in raw encouragement. So much so that it automatically feels like a slap in the face. But that's it. You gave it to us. And we, this body of believers, believes in your salvation is full, complete, and undeniable. We have to encourage others and share that same encouragement with them. We ask that you settle this on our heart. We ask that you fill the floor this morning to lay that before you to re-believe. There's no other way to describe it. We have to have this locked in our hearts, and the only person that's going to do that is you. So we raise that before you this morning. Lord, I thank you for this time with this crew and their patience for listening to me. I thank you for the words. And we just bring all this to Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please stand with me. And again, this is your opportunity to come forward. Let it go. Ask for help. Ask for comfort. But come up and ask. If you come to my left, your right, it's all you and Jesus. If you come to my right, your left, you're simply signaling that you want someone to go with you and carry this burden with you and be encouraged right now. Someone's going to come forward and pray with you. And don't be scared because somebody's behind you, looking at you as you walk forward, because it's not up to them. It's up to Jesus and you. And if you accept, you drop that knee and you drop that neck, it's you and Jesus. It's not you and us. Now, when you get up, someone's going to hug your neck. I almost guarantee it. Joe, go ahead.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try. try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power of power surely is thine. Touch me and heal. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
You know, KP always says this. I take a lot from him. There's a reason, because I listen to the language, right? I have been encouraged by talking about encouraging each other. I truly think we have an opportunity today, next week, and every week after to increase this body of believers into a trusting collective through encouragement. That was the prayer that I gave earlier. I'm not going to give it again, but blessings be upon you. Have a good rest of your day. You are free to leave.